time for our daily conversation with the professor, John Clayton, who joins us now. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Hey, we got some good news concerning a former Seahawk in Russell Okung. I know you were talking about him earlier in the week, saying, man, we don't know if he'll play again. What changed?
Well, I guess, you know, it was going to be a matter when he was on the blood clot medication. You know, there's no way he can play because, I mean, in a physical sport like that, I mean, you're going to get bruises. Bruises are going to be worse with the blood clot medication. If you get cut, I mean, it can lead to a lot of bleeding. And so that's not good. And so, he kind of stayed in mystery. And, of course, remember when he had the embolism in the lung back in June, I mean, he was lucky enough to go to a doctor that was able to fix it up quick enough that he didn't die. And so he stayed real quiet on it. Well, today he came out and tweeted that it looks like he's going to be back. And the team did put him on the active list as far as being able to practice. Now, remember, you know, he's on physically unable to perform, or NFI, one of those two lists. So it's a matter that it's like, okay, he's now been cleared to come back and practice and maybe come back and play. And that's just great news because, you know, to see, you know, a great career like he's had end like something like this prematurely would be terrible. And so I think that's one of the best news we've heard this week.
Yeah, finally some good news for the Chargers, right?
Yeah, of course, who had to put Travis Benjamin on injured reserve.
Oh, man. What about Derwin James? What's the update on him? Is he due back anytime soon?
Too early to say. It's going to be at the very – I mean, if anything, it's going to be probably till December to see if he's going to be able to do anything. So, because it was such a bad injury. So no real progress on him, and it's going to be several more months away.
All right, John, what do you think about this? I don't know if you've heard it, but there's some rumors going around that possibly because of the Will Dissly injury, the Seahawks might be a candidate to trade for O.J. Howard. Heard
False
anything
news.
About that?
False news.
Okay.
No, because, even though he's not been real active in Bruce Arians' offense, in fact, if Comos is going to cut him out of the offense, he's now come back and I know the team's already said they're not going to trade him. And, of course, that doesn't mean anything. But, I think at this stage, again, will they make a phone call? Absolutely. It's John Snyder. He always does that. I mean, he checks into everything. He was checking into Jalen Ramsey. And, you know, they check into just about any opportunity. But, you know, I still think they feel good about the situation because they're 2 weeks away from getting Ed Dixon back. You know how you feel about Ed Dixon. Good football player. Now, may change if one of the two guys that are out there right now, Jacob Hollister or Luke Wilson, gets hurt. But I'd say right now, to go for Howard, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, and the other thing, too, is he's a first-round draft choice. I mean,
that's correct.
Pick number 19. I mean, it's going to take a lot to get him out of Tampa, I would think.
I would agree. And it's not like, again, if they lose a couple more games, maybe there's going to be a fire sale. But I don't see that happening because, you know, guys have jobs on the line.
Professor, we have Thursday night football in Denver tonight. Kansas City's favored by 3. You know what that line suggests to me? That Patrick Mahomes is not totally healthy, because I would think the Chiefs would be a little bit bigger favorite than that.
You are correct, sir.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
We agreed on something, Professor.
Wow. Well, yeah. And so, you're right, because, I mean, for 2 weeks, you can see him moving around, you know, in an awkward fashion. And, you know, I don't think it's – and maybe it is. I mean, maybe this is to the same degree as Russell Wilson, who had the high ankle sprain. Certainly they're not saying it. They're not divulging any kind of information as far as, you know, how bad the injury is. But I think it's pretty clear that it's not a good injury. And, you know, we've seen Aaron Rodgers play with a knee injury. We've seen Russell Wilson play with not only with a high ankle sprain, but a MCL sprain. Yeah. And so in the same vein, Patrick Mahomes is going to gut through it and try to pay the best he can. But there's no question that he's not 100%, and it's definitely affecting his play and the play of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Who's their backup, John?
I haven't even think about that because, you know, Drew Locke is on the injured reserve list. I'm trying to think if it's, I think Brandon Allen, if I remember right, and I'm not looking at any of my database stuff, although I'm looking at my database stuff, but other type of things. But Brandon Allen, one of the great backup names in the league. I don't think he's ever played a down.
You're talking backup to Mahomes?
Yeah. Oh, and Mahomes. Oh, well, there you go. It's actually, I'm thinking
Matt
about
Moore.
In Denver. Okay, no. It's now one of the oldest quarterbacks in the league, Matt Moore, who's been around forever. In fact, I think he's older than, Wyman.
So, John, are you telling me there's a chance for me to make a comeback?
Well, there's always a chance.
If you can play quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, I can sling it now.
Hey, John. He's only 35.
Hey, John, you just talked about, kind of holding off in terms of acquiring a new tight end because Dixon's going to be on his way back. But mm-hmm. You got the trade deadline coming up. Is there a move you think the Seahawks should make, a position they should address?
I think that you got to snoop around at the guard position just to make sure they're okay there, you know, because you got DJ Fluker with the hamstring injury. You know, you've got the problems right now with Ethan Posick on injured reserve. Now, again, they're going to get Phil Haynes back if they want this, as early as this week, because he's now on the PUP and he's eligible to come back. But, you know, I think you've got to watch for that. I don't really think there's really any other position. Again, tight end could be something if indeed you know, you have any one more injury there, because you got the Nick Vinette trade. So you're really out two tight ends with the Disley injury. So that could be a possibility. But again, that's where that's, you know, a lot of times, I mean, you know, when we were talking about this so much before the end of the training camp and right before the season, it's like we all kind of figured that Dixon was going to be the odd man out because Disley was a starter. They like Nick Vinette. You know, you got Jacob Hollister, who was a good young guy, and you're able to slip him through to the practice squad. And then, you know, Dixon could have been cut. But with the injury, whatever it was with the knee that was supposed to be cleared up by the start of the regular season, you know, he's now available. And again, it's two more weeks to wait for him. But if he can play in week nine, I mean, here's a guy that can start.
All right, Raiders defensive coordinator. Who is it again? Oh, is it Gunther?
Gunther Cunningham, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he says that the suspension of Vontaze Burfict was a witch hunt.
Ugh. Oh, jeez.
Let me ask. I got to clear something up, Bob. Come on, do you Gunther. Believe that Vontaze Burfict is an honorable person?
No, or? I do not.
Oh, you don't.
I believe he got exactly what he deserved, and I'm very happy that they didn't reduce the suspension. He's earned every bit of it.
He expressed disgust along with me. John, what did you think he should have? Did you think the 8-game suspension?
8 games, I thought was fair, because I mean, he's been suspended 3 and 4 games, and to go a triple, I mean, to take it from 4 to 12, I think that's too much. 8 games to me.
He now, earned again, it, John.
Huh?
He earned it.
Well, but basically, you're saying that he's not perfect because his name's Burfict?
Oh, a little rhyme there.
Yeah, no, I mean, just suspensions aside, he's been fine. What was it, 13 times? He's had 13 of these infractions. I mean, come on. Let's not act like, well, what's he supposed to do? He couldn't get his head out of the way. He's not one of those guys.
No. I mean, particularly on the one hit that he made on the tight end, that was just brutal. I mean, on Eric Ebron, I mean, just, I mean, he was kneeling on the ground, and he comes in with his helmet, lowering it, purposely trying to get the helmet. I mean, that was just inexcusable. I mean, that's why he deserved at least an 8-game suspension. I still think 12 is too much, but hey, at this stage, I mean, he's at the point where, I mean, how long can he even stay in this league? I mean, the next one that he would get, if he even gets a chance to play next year, is going to be the one that'll end his career in the NFL, if his career isn't ended anyways.
You know, it's funny, as I was watching on Root Sports the replay of O'Day versus Eastside Catholic, and they called an offensive player for lowering the helmet and, you know, ramming it into the defender. The defender did the same thing. And I think it was Taylor Barton was doing color. I was like, thank you, Taylor. Unless your head is up your keister, it's about 8 inches from your shoulder. Okay? And so when you lower your shoulder, your head has to come with it. And I'm not saying that's the case with Burfict, but I'm just saying that, like, with a lot of these, everybody thinks that, oh, look at, he went in with his head. Like, you can separate your head from your shoulders. You can't. So anyway, I thought it was an interesting call, because they're calling that now at the high school level. And, you know, I just think you could probably call that on every play.
Well, did you think Clowney led with his head when he got the roughing the passer?
It looked like he kind of did. He was just trying to get there as fast as he could. You know, and everybody, I think everybody's trying to judge intent, like, oh, that looks terrible. But, you know, anyway, we've had this debate before. I just thought I'd stir it up again, get people fired up. All right, now we're ready to go for the rest of the show.
Everybody's fired
up. Hey, you
want
to talk about paternity leave now, too? Or?
No, we'll leave that one alone. Right, we addressed that yesterday.
All right. Hey, John, Patrick Peterson's back after a 6-game absence from a suspension. Sounds like there's trade rumors with him, and if he stays, how much will he improve that defense?
Oh, a lot, because I don't even think they have an interception in the first 6 games. I mean, I could be wrong on that, but I know their numbers are so low as far as turnovers. Their coverage is terrible. I mean, you're talking about one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and it gives them a chance. And it also, what it does, it takes a little pressure off of Byron Murphy, because Byron Murphy, the former Washington Huskies, done a really good job of playing in the cornerback position, but he had to be the number one guy when most people thought, coming in, he was going to be the number three, because remember, they had Robert Alford, the veteran who came over from Atlanta, but he's out for the season. And so, no, I think that it's a great move for them to get back. And, you know, particularly now, things are so much better for them when you look back now compared to the Arizona-Seattle game, because they've won a couple games. They're 2-3-1. You know, most people thought maybe they're going to be a 3-4 win team. Kyler Murray's playing well, and now you get your best defensive player back. That's not bad.
Hey, did you see the comments from Demaryius Thomas?
Yes.
What do you think? For those that don't know, he was upset. The Patriots released him before their final cuts, and then they re-signed him 3 days later, and then 8 days after that they traded him. And he said, yeah, it was insulting for sure. Once I got cut, I could have just come out to the Jets and not stayed there and re-signed. And when they re-signed me, I was thinking, I'm good. And then 2 weeks later, I was gone. So it's like, why did I waste my time?
Yeah.
What do you think of his criticism?
I mean, that's fair, because, again, it's like you're disrupting your life, you know, going to two different places that quick. I mean, you go from one place to the next place to the next place, and that pretty much can be unfair. But I think it's also telling what they thought of him, which, of course, I mean, if I'm him, I'm going to be trying to get vengeance at the Patriots, because it's almost very similar when Gerard McCoy ended up leaving the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they gave away his jersey after his great career, and so he came back and whipped them just in the past week over in London. Well, I mean, in the case of Thomas, this is Bill Belichick for the first time since leaving the Jets making a trade with the Jets. So basically, you know, when you do that, you're thinking, this guy's nothing. There's nothing left in this guy, and so I'm going to give him to the Jets, because, you know, why would Bill Belichick help out a division rival team? Because he really doesn't do that. But I just thought that was kind of curious, too.
So that dance that Ray Lewis used to do before every game, was that called the squirrel dance or something?
Yeah, when he would get introduced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks nothing like a squirrel.
I think it was when, didn't he reach down and grab some grass and rub it on the jersey?
Yeah, and then he would do that thing where he would throw his chest up to the sky and everything.
You could say it's squirrely.
Yeah, I don't get that. But anyway, Za'Darius Smith, who has 6 sacks in 6 games, he was doing some of that after. And I guess the flower, as Danny likes to call him, the head coach, Matt LaFleur, said nixe on the post-sack celebrations.
Wow.
Yeah, and for a younger coach, right? How old is he, John?
About 38, I think, 39.
Yeah. I'm just surprised. Well, so it's like
that's not going to go over very well, because everybody, what's he trying to control? I mean, this is right now his best defensive player. Both he and Preston Smith has come over and doubled up their sack total. They're over 10 sacks together, and they've done such a great job. I mean, we can talk about Jadeveon Clowney being one of the best pass rushing additions in the league. Well, I mean, right now Smith has been the best pass rushing addition, other if you're not talking about in the draft with Nick Bosa. And Nick only has 3 sacks. I mean, you've got Smith with twice that. It's like, let the guy celebrate. Yeah. It's like you already got Aaron Rodgers angry with some of the stuff that you were going and teaching in the offseason on the program as far as what you wanted to do on offense. Don't get your best defensive players when they're playing so well mad.
Yeah, Za'Darius Smith, the guy came over from Baltimore, right?
Yes.
Wow, you had to see his picture now. He looks like a character from the Bible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like if he had a long robe on or something, he's beard and long hair. Yeah.
Roaming the desert.
Yeah. I didn't know this, that 40 seconds is actually the length. Anything more than that on as far as a celebration goes, NFL rules call for celebrations not to exceed 40 seconds.
That's good.
That does seem like a long time. Like I guess it has to allow for an in-sync lineup.
Yeah,
setting it up.
The Seahawks did, yeah.
Hey, John, NFL.com has got a weekly quarterback index where they rank all the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson is number one, and for the first time, Tom Brady fell out of the top 5.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's fair, because, I mean, Tom in the last couple of weeks has struggled, even though he's won against bad football teams. He's not done as well, and Russell Wilson's just absolutely lighting it up. I mean, he's got the best quarterback rating in the league. He hasn't thrown an interception. He's got the, 14 touchdown passes, 3 rushing touchdown passes, and, he's putting up points on the board. So, yeah, maybe that's justified in putting him there, because, let's put it this way. You still want to give the respect for Tom Brady because he's Tom Brady, but, I mean, right now, Tom's not the MVP leading candidate. Russell Wilson is.
John Clayton is our guest with us here. Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. He's with us every day at 4 o'clock. I was just reading a story here about Antonio Brown saying that the NFL has yet to interview him in connection with that pending the sexual assault and rape accusations made against him, and he's also thinking he's going to get paid. What? How do you see this being resolved? First of all, are you surprised they haven't even talked to him yet? Second of all, do you think he gets a dollar of anything?
I don't think so. I'm not an attorney, and can't really figure those things out. I don't think he gets much at all because, again, he particularly with the Patriots, he voided the guarantees with what he did, with Mike Mayock and missing time, and so because he was away from the team and didn't do anything for such a long period of time, so I don't think he has much of a chance. I don't think he has much of a chance to get back in the league this year because I think everybody's kind of sick of him. I think they realize that. He's more problem than he is good right now, and I think right now that's stagnant. I mean, it's funny. I know some of the people on the NFL Network are talking up the ideas like, "Hey, the Dallas Cowboys should sign him." They don't need that headache. I mean, it's brutal.
Do you think he plays in this league again?
I doubt it. I mean, I'm questioning it right now. I mean, he's too good of a player to ignore, but also he's too much of a problem right now. What do you really want to do? I mean, you saw the Patriots. It's like they bring him in, and there was more problems. And, of course, he still has legal issues. And at some point, I mean, he's going to get a suspension.
Hey, you know those two characters that just opened the door and said hi? Anybody recognize them?
No.
Tom Flick, John, and Jeff Kemp.
Former Husky quarterback, Tom Flick.
Yeah, and Jeff Kemp, former, where did he go? He went to Dartmouth. Mm-hmm. That's right, Dartmouth. And then he was a backup here in Seattle. Mm. But I thought I'd mention, I know Tom Flick. Jeff's a good friend of mine. We coached together, and his son works for the Seahawks. But, Tom Flick, I know a lot of Husky fans loved him, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think he went to Interlake, too.
He did go to Interlake, Jeff. Yeah. Yes, he was an Interlake Saint.
And what are they doing here?
Visiting Corey Kemp, who's one of the media relation guys here. Mm-hmm. He had a little girl, so he's visiting his granddaughter. Yeah. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
That's cool. I'm glad you did, Dave. Hey, how about this game?
I knew you would appreciate it.
What about this game between Minnesota and Detroit this week, Professor? A 4-2 Vikings team taking on a 2-2-1 Detroit team.
Yeah, and a 2-2-1 Detroit team that got robbed by the officials with so many bad calls, which was just horrible. But the one thing I think that has to be concerning is that they've blown three games in the fourth quarter, and we can blame officiating and all that stuff. But I was talking to a former Detroit Lion who was in the locker room. I won't talk about who it was, and we were discussing it because I don't want to betray the guy. But it's like, here's Matt Patricia. He's still trying to figure out how to win. And we watched that last week with the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns drop off to a 26 win. This is a team that's only won 8 games in 3 years, and they're still trying to learn how to win and haven't learned. While the Seahawks, they know how to win, and I think that's a big difference. And I think that's where Detroit is right now. They have a great quarterback in Matthew Stafford. They've got some improvement on the defense, but they still don't know how to win.
Who used to play for the Lions? I can't figure it out.
You won't figure it out because there's a bunch of guys. So
you'll never figure it out, Dave.
Sure about
you
that?
Go ahead and try.
Well, I mean, we got Ziggy Ansah. You got Nick Ballone. I mean, and you got
Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson. I mean, he was just there. So it's like there's three, and then I wouldn't resist going over and talking to Cliff Avril.
You'll never figure it out, Dave. You'll never figure
four.
It out.
I got a 1-4 shot.
You do.
Hey, I'm pretty sure I can nail it.
Hey, John, did you see this story about the NFL Films picked up Larry Fitzgerald talking to Kyler Murray before their game, talking about Julio Jones? So he was talking to him, watching him in warm-ups, and he told Murray, "You're going to enjoy observing Jones. You're going to see something special out there today. He's the best I've ever seen. He's got no weak." This is Larry Fitzgerald, one of the all-time greats, talking about Julio Jones, saying he's so explosive. He's got no weaknesses. He's got no weaknesses in his game, and he's a freak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty high praise coming from Larry Fitzgerald.
You gotta love Larry. Larry's absolutely fantastic. He's one of the great guys in the league. He's a great motivator, and you just respect everything that he does. So good for him.
Where does Julio Jones in your mind rank? Is he one of the all time greats?
No,
if he were to
I
stop
disagree.
Playing today?
No. I mean, he's one of the best in the league right now. Which gives, if you're one of the best in the league when you got A.J. Green and Michael Thomas and Odell Beckham Jr. and guys like that. But, I mean, the guy is great. But all-time great, you have to go to San Francisco and go talk to Jerry Rice about that.
Yeah, he's a long ways ahead of Larry Fitzgerald, too. I mean, you look at the yardage.
Jerry Rice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious, Julio Jones, I mean, that's he's praising Julio Jones in that audio, mm-hmm. and I'm just curious where Julio Jones would rank amongst the greats. Not saying he's the greatest, but it's pretty high praise.
Yeah.
Professor, would you like to hear the scenario that I have laid out for the NFC West
sure,
this weekend?
Ahead. Yeah.
Thank you for saying yes to that. San Francisco, tell me what the likelihood of all this happening happens. San Francisco goes to Washington and loses to fall to...
That's not happening.
Okay, well, John, just let me finish. San Francisco loses to Washington to fall to 5-1. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks beat the Ravens to improve to 6-1, and they'd be number one in the NFC West. They'd be in first place in the NFC West. The Rams go to Atlanta, and they lose to the Falcons to fall to 3-4. Arizona goes to New York and beats the Giants to be 3-3-1, which would put the Rams in last place in the NFC West. Do you like all of that, Professor?
I think you're 1-for-3. I mean, I think the Seahawks can get the win on Sunday. So, yeah, you're 1-for-3. I can't see Washington winning. That's not going to happen. And, you know, the Rams could lose. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. So that's one the one that I think you can get right.
But you think the Giants will beat Arizona?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, even with Peterson coming back and they're playing better.
I mean, it's a battle because the Giants aren't that good.
Is Barkley going to play for New York?
What's that?
Is Barkley playing?
Debatable right now. Still too early to call.
Okay.
All right.
You like my scenario, Bob?
I'd like it if it happened that way. Okay. I don't see it happening that way. But
I think the Redskins are a live dog, as they
do
say.
You?
Yeah, I do.
No, a dog, yeah, but they're
all
barking
dogs. We'll see a dog.
John, good stuff. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There he is, the Professor John Clayton with us every day at 4 o'clock. All right, Jim was predicting that the heat was going to be a factor in the Cougs game last week. They did, in fact, lose, but was heat a factor? We'll ask Jessamine McIntyre, sideline reporter who was out there in that heat. She joins us next here with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.